I want to talk about Psalm 41, verse 9. Yes, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate bread with me. The person in view is Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, the man of my peace, as he's called in Psalm 55. And of course, this verse is quoted specifically about Judas in John 15, verse 18. And, well, you can understand it with David. Ahithophel was his advisor, his confidant, his close friend, but he was Bathsheba's grandfather, so it is not surprising that he turned against David and betrayed him, as it were, when Absalom wanted to become king. And so you see in passing how to eat bread together with a person means that you really do accept them, and yet Jesus broke his bread quite openly with all sorts of people, fairly random people. It's a sort of contradiction almost that to eat bread together means to, as it were, trust someone, to have them as your intimate friend. And this is what was so strange to people, especially to the Orthodox Jews of the Lord's time, that he would share his table with anyone. And when this was raised with him, he said, yes, this is in order to bring sinners to repentance. He doesn't set a certain bar and say, you jump that bar, you get through that hoop, and then, sure, you can come to my table. He had an absolutely open table, and that is how we should be. And that is how you bring people to repentance, by accepting them. And this is how he works with people. So I see in that a fairly strong teaching that we should have an open table rather than telling people, well, if you get through these hoops and jump these bars, theologically, doctrinally, and morally, then we're here for you. But if not, well, no, you can't. We exclude you from our table. This is absolutely not the spirit of Jesus. Anyway, I want to reflect on how it could be that Jesus, as it were, trusted Judas, when in John 6:64 we're told that he knew from the beginning who should betray him. He knew on one hand, and yet he laments that Judas was his own familiar friend, who had then betrayed him, and he felt the pain of that. I mean, in Matthew 19, he had said that the 12, including Judas, would sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he acted to Judas as if he was one of those who would be in his kingdom. And we know that Judas stole the money that was in their sort of collective bag that they had for their day-to-day living and stuff, and money given for the poor was actually going into Judas's pocket, and that's why he was really mad that that flagon of expensive perfume wasn't sold and the money put into that bag, because he kept the bag and he stole money out of it. And to just see it used on Jesus, he found extremely irritating. Well, Jesus was an intellectual as the Son of God without compare. He surely perceived, somebody of his perception perceived what was going on. Surely? Did he not see that somebody's got sticky fingers and somebody's putting money in their own pocket? Did he not perceive that? Well, this is what I want to discuss. I think because the Lord Jesus fully had human nature, he shared our capacity to know something on one level and yet live as if you don't know it. I think that helps you understand the whole miserable business of Samson and Delilah. She keeps saying, oh, tell me your secret. And bit by bit, he gets closer and closer to telling her the truth. And each time she betrays him and gets the Philistines to come and arrest him, and he fights his way out of it, until eventually he tells her the whole truth. And you think, oh, Samson, you know, I hate reading that chapter in Judges 16. I think, oh, Samson, can't you see what's going to happen? Don't you see what kind of woman she is? But he did, surely. And yet he didn't. And this, when you think about it, is part of human nature. It is part of what it is to be human. It is not a sin. It is just how it is with us, that we can know something on one level and yet deny it on another. The Lord Jesus knew from the beginning. that Judas was to betray him. And yet when it happened, he laments in the terms of Psalm 41, verse 9, that this was my own familiar friend in whom I trusted who has done this. Well, why did Jesus trust in him then, if he knew from the beginning what Judas was like and what he was going to do? Well, because he had human nature. I think this is one of the most profound windows onto the humanity of the Lord Jesus, that he had our nature right up to this extent. And certainly no Trinitarian view of the nature of Jesus can possibly explain how this could be. But that's not my point in this context. I'm just making the point in passing. But the point is, he had our nature, and that involves knowing on one level and yet not knowing, refusing to know, refusing to take cognizance of what you know on another. That is part of what it is to be human. And the closer you look at your own life and the decisions and actions of people around you, the more I think you'll see what I'm saying. This is particularly so when you love a person. When you are in love, love is not blind, and yet love also sees the behavior of the beloved in a different way than you would look at that person's behavior if you're outside of that love relationship. You take the sister, the good Christian woman, who is dating an alcoholic, and she is in love with him. Love is not blind. She's not blind to the fact he gets drunk. And you say to her, look, do you not see what sort of guy he is? And sure, she sees. Love is not actually blind. But she interprets this in another way. Oh, but she looks at the good side of him. And yeah, well, she lives in hope that he will overcome this and so on. We've all seen this kind of thing, that the in love nexus of thoughts and feelings makes a person as if they are blind. But as I say, love is not blind. It's not that the young woman does not see that the guy she's dating and wants to marry is an alcoholic. Of course she sees that. She sees. She is not literally blind. And yet the observation that love is blind arises because, as I say, of this whole nexus of feelings and perceptions that arise in love. And Jesus loved Judas, quite simply. I think also this has got something to do with imputed righteousness, that people, as it were, impute righteousness to the beloved. And the love of God for us is likewise not blind. He fully is aware of our sinfulness, but he imputes righteousness. And really, that is what you do to the one you love. And he loves us. When we are in Christ, we are in the Son of his love, as Paul says. We are in the beloved, and we are thereby made acceptable in him.